Gather around. One, two. I should turn that down a little. Let's turn that down a little bit. One, two, one, two. That's good. I can't get loud in with that. Ready to go?
Yeah.
Everybody stand up. Everybody stand up. We're going to sing a song that most people will know. This is about the second coming, called Jesus is Coming Again. How many knows that song? All right, sing out. If you don't know it, time we hit the second verse, you'll know. How many is looking forward to that, eh? All right. Wouldn't hurt my feelings if he'd come right now. Truth of the matter is, he could. A lot of people don't believe that, but hey, it is our blessed hope of the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. It can happen that quick. And that's why we're talking about it, because I really want to raise the awareness of the second coming. I was talking to some folks and they would say, you don't hear this anymore. And that just fulfills scripture because it says there'll be plenty of people who say, where's the sign of his coming? And that's just predicted that it was going to happen, which here, so that's supposed to happen in the last days. And guess what? We're hearing it. Guess what? Look out. Look out. Well, I better get into my message tonight. Never mind. All right. First of all, I just want to say this. Our ladies and all of you that have been preparing for the conference and making the soups and setting up, God bless you. You know, I was talking to some of our people and they said, boy, the feeling of back there is just family. You know, isn't that great? You know, you come to church and it feels like family. It feels like you enjoy being here and, you know, had some great teaching and preaching and getting some good information. And my goodness, I've had a blast this week. How about you? Yeah. Let's give our ladies a hand for that, all right? And the gents. Go ahead. We all know behind every good man's a good woman, though, you know. No. Perhaps I should sit down. No, we're all working together, you know. But, you know, if it wasn't for my wife, Julie, I'd be lost. Guys see a few heads just tentatively going like this, you know. She's the organizer, and I don't have a clue. So why should I organize? I'd organize something, she'd just fix it herself. So. Oh, enough rambling. Over the last couple of days, we have heard about some very, very difficult things that's going to be coming upon the world. And the question has been at times, and you've heard it, I've heard it, what's this world coming to? And we have begun to see things happening. Things that have never happened before in the history of mankind that was fulfilled. I mean, talked about in prophecy that was coming. Keith mentioned something the other night. He's talking about the two witnesses. Ken mentioned it too. The two witnesses in the streets of Jerusalem and tormenting the whole world for such a... How is it possible that two men can torment the whole world? And when they're killed and they're laying in the streets of Jerusalem, how can the whole world see them? That's only been able to happen in the last 15, 20 years. I mean, we got satellite TV. That could not have happened before the last 20 years. Am I running out? Okay. Give him a hand. Okay. All right. Now we go. There we go. But keep that in mind, though. That's one bit of prophecy that not many people's picked up on, I don't think. But what does that say? It says that we're living in the last days. It's saying that Jesus could come back now. I'm going to go out on a theological limb, all you theologians. There is not one thing in the Bible that needs to be fulfilled before Jesus returns. That's the next step. Theologians, what do you think? That's the next step on the theological ladder, the eschatological ladder. Eschatology is the word. But that's the next thing to happen. But when the Lord returns, things are going to get really, really bad. You know, we're going to have 3.5 years of really, really bad. And if you don't mind me using the phrase, the next 3.5 years, all hell's going to break loose. I mean, it's going to get, and that's literal, it's going to get bad because the Antichrist will set himself up as God. And when the Antichrist sets himself up as God on the throne of the temple, God's going to say, uh-uh. And the wrath of God is just going to There's going to be people here. And it's not going to be pretty. We've heard about that for the last couple of days. And if you think about that too much, you're undoubtedly going to be depressed, right? Anybody ever done that before? Thinking about what's coming upon the world and you go, it's depressing, isn't it? But can we miss what's coming? You're with me, aren't you? Do we as followers of Jesus see and experience all the tribulation and destruction in our future? I, for one, say no way. Okay, and this is the reason that I think so. So on your handouts, turn to the backside. I'm going to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And what you have is verse 9 included there. But I'm going to begin reading in verse number 1, and then you can read with me when we get to verse 9. First, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we're so grateful for this focus on the last days. And Lord, if you were to come back before I get done, that's all right. I don't know anything else I'd rather be doing when you come. So, Father, help us to love your appearing and look for it and then experience it when it happens. So, Father, help us to see the truth of your word. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul wrote, "But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know that perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape." It's coming. "But you, brethren, are not in darkness." Now he's speaking to us, okay? So listen, he's speaking to you. "But you, brethren, are not in darkness so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober." Why? Because we can know what's coming. No, we don't know the day. We know it's coming. Verse 7, "For those who sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love as a helmet, the hope of salvation." Verse 9, you have that in front of you. "For God did not appoint us to wrath." What did he say? Read it with me. All right, what did he mean? Can somebody translate that for me? What's that? Yeah. Well, you know, I'm going to give you the hillbilly translation of that. I think when he says, "For God did not appoint us to wrath," he means, "For God did not appoint us to wrath." Are you impressed or what? Bible college degree for you. He said, "For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him." Amen. Hallelujah. If we believe in Jesus, whether we wake or sleep, we will be with him. Somebody say amen. Amen. Get used to it. I'm going to ask you to do that quite a bit today. But you know what? We are with him. And look what he says in the next line. Read it with me on verse 11. "Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you all are so doing." You can't comfort each other if you know you've got tribulation to look forward to, right? But we can comfort each other when we realize we're not appointed to the wrath of God. We Tennesseans say wrath, you Australians say raw. Jesus paid for that when he died. He took our wrath upon his shoulders and nailed it to the cross. Am I right? Aren't you glad of that? So when somebody tells you they're going to go through the tribulation, tell them if you get saved, you won't have to. Okay? Yeah. Ken and I know, have a good friend who believes that. We're trying to convince him differently. See, the world's going to get really rough. It really is. But we as Christians know that we can escape that. And how do we do that? How do we do that? Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 through 57. You with me? Now on your handout. Paul's speaking. He says, behold, I tell you a mystery. Let's stop. You know what he's saying? Behold, I tell you a mystery. This is something that hasn't been revealed before. So many people try to go to the Old Testament and bring the rapture of the church into the Old Testament. You can't do that. It's not there. If you stay in the Old Testament, you'll miss the rapture. Okay? Now, Jesus hinted at it a little bit in his teaching, okay, but wasn't specific, but he hinted at it a few times, and we're going to read one of those things here in just a moment. But Paul says, behold, I show you a mystery. This is new stuff given by the Apostle Paul, the Apostle to the Gentiles, that's you and I. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. Somebody tell me how fast a twinkle of an eye is. It's too fast. Everybody say with me, fast. It's, or fast. It's fast. It's fast. And if you think you're going to recognize it and get saved before it's over, you need to think again. Because it's going to be fast. You know, I clap my hands. The twinkle in my eye was about half that speed. It's over. Can you imagine what it will be like when all the Christian people just... People's going to come on the scene and say, hey, the aliens come and abducted them. Seriously speaking, that's a good excuse. When we're gone, I won't have to deal with it because I'm not going to be here. Hopefully you'll be with us as well. But, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in the moment, in the twinkle of an eye, at the last trumpet of God. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Hey, folks, that's us. We're changed. Anybody looking forward to that? Yeah, me too. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God. He's getting all wound up here. Listen to me. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You can say amen. You see? I don't know how this is going to happen. But it all sounds good to me. I reckon the power of God can do anything, don't you think? And if he says that he's going to change this old thing that I have to deal with called the body, and he's going to change it from what it is now into an immortal being, I reckon he can do that, can't he? You know what? I am so looking forward to that. Let me tell you something that happened last night. David, he's been business from Kempsey. Wave at everybody, David. He's also a hobby photographer. And I went, uh-huh. I'm a hobby photographer too. So last night we got the cameras, went out to the river. And he was thinking, you know what? I've just been thinking whenever we get into eternity, you know, I really think that when we get there, God will fulfill the things that he has placed in our heart to do now in a perfect way. And I said, sounds good to me. I said, I'm a bit of an explorer. And the Bible said, as Keith said, the increase of God's kingdom will continue continually. I want to explore some new worlds. You know, Star Trek personified. But seriously, what if God allows us just to enjoy the desires of our heart when we get to heaven? And it all begins like that. Are you going? You sure? That's the important, most important questions you can ask and settle today. Are you going? But just how is this going to happen? How about those people who have already died and gone on? You ever asked that, heard that question? What about those who are already gone? Go with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Let's let Paul tell us what's going to happen, all right? 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13 through 8. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep. There you go. He's going to tell us, lest you sorrow as those who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. Now, I'm going to go back to a picture I see on TV. Have you ever seen in third world countries when somebody dies, the mass mourning that goes on? You know, and most of them are not Christian nations, and I can understand why they would be mourning. Because they have no hope. But Paul just told us for our loved ones who are Christians that are, have gone on, they're with the Lord. They're with the Lord. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. So they're with Jesus. We don't know what that means. We just do know they're with Jesus. Is that good enough for you? It is for me. And whenever the Lord returns back, what did he say he's going to do with them? He's going to bring them back. Easy to understand? Boy. In this theological stuff, eschatology, we're getting it worked out. But what about us? What's going to happen to us? I'm going to read this and I'm going to give you a good illustration. Verse 15. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord. Now who's saying it? The word of who? Okay. That we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Hallelujah! Amen! The best, somebody was joking, I think come up with a good illustration. Why does the dead in Christ get a head start? Well, they got 6 foot to go before they catch us. Hillbilly approach. It works. But seriously, they come back. God resurrects them. We don't prevent them. They come up. Bang, we're all going together. To meet the Lord in the air. Anybody ever hear Sandy Patty sing We Shall Behold Him years ago? You ever heard that song? Wish I had it. I'd play it for you. She's this big soprano, you know. Makes hair, kind of like Colin was talking about, the hair standing up on the back of your head. But when he takes us out of here, this is it. This is the victory. This is what Paul's calls the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us. That's it. And we are to look for that and anticipate that event. If you look at the Apostle Paul in all of his writings, he was always anticipating the Lord's return, almost as if it was going to happen then. And guess what? We're 2,000 years closer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
It may happen in our lifetime. Like I said last week, I'm not looking for the undertaker, I'm looking for the uppertaker. You know? Are you sure you're going? Are you? You don't want to be left behind. Make sure you're going. And here the Apostle Paul comes in with these words that we're supposed to do with this information. Verse number 18 in our text. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Comfort? Comfort? So often I see Christians looking at the end times and they are getting scared to death and worried and depressed and frustrated by seeing what's coming on the world. If you'll get your head around what the Bible says, we're supposed to comfort each other with what He's saying. Amen? It's not something to get scared and fretful about. It's something to look forward to. I'm not being self-serving because we do have some loved ones who are lost. Keep praying for them. Keep reaching out to them. It's essential that you share your faith with them and pray for them every day. But it's their choice to make. And the Holy Spirit of God is drawing them as you pray. Do you agree? So do that. Keep praying. We're supposed to comfort each other or encourage or lift each other up and point people or each other to a better place and a better day. It's coming. I'm looking forward to that. You know why? Jesus will be in charge and not the politicians. There'll be no arguments in Parliament. There's a song the Imperials used to sing. It says, there will never be any peace until God's sitting at the conference table. Then I dare them to argue with Him. Because when you see God, you can't talk. You can't talk. Even the angels spoke of this event. And this is one of those hints at what's about to happen. You remember when Jesus ascended up into heaven? Yeah, how would you like to have been standing around when Jesus ascended off the earth into heaven? I wish that could have been there. And the disciples must have been sitting there gobsmacked, like. You remember what the angel said? Acts 1:11, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw Him go. He'll come back in the clouds. Okay? He'll come back for the Christian, the church age, at the rapture in the clouds. He'll come back for the Jew at the second coming when He comes back with all His holy angels and you and me behind Him. And He sets foot on the Mount of Olives and it splits and He sets up His kingdom for a millennial, I'm getting ahead of myself, but the millennial reign where we can enjoy that for 1,000 years. Did you know you're going to live for 1,000 years? Hey, honey, that's just the beginning. You're going to live forever. So get used to it. That's all right. We'll have a glorified body, so no more pain and suffering. He went into the clouds. We'll see Him in the clouds. This will happen. Why? Because He said it would. And we'll see Him as He is. Well, what does that mean? What does it mean? I don't know. But there's another promise that says when we see Him, we don't know how He shall appear, but we know when we see Him, will be like Him. And that's okay with me. I mean, my goodness, He had His glorified body. Remember before, after resurrected, He walked through walls? I don't know how He did that. But you know what? When we see Him, we will be like Him. Sounds good to me. I don't understand why everybody doesn't want part of this. You understand? John wrote in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not been revealed what we shall be like, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." There you go. That's when the corruptible puts on incorruption. That's when this mortal puts on immortality. That's when the sting of death is removed. And that's when Jesus Christ, our Lord, gives us the victory. Right then and there. Sounds good. And when that takes place, we'll go and be with the Lord forever. Quickly, let me tell you a few things that we'll go through. First, as Keith pointed out, and Ken, through the judgment seat of Christ, we will receive the rewards that we have earned. Let me clarify this. I'm going to give you Tony's opinion here, all right? Is that all right? Did I say that? Tony's opinion. Heard a preacher preach one time that when we stand at the judgment seat of Christ, then our lives, good, bad, and the ugly, and sins and everything, will be played before us like it was on a big video screen. I disagree with that. Because the Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful. Say it with me. He is faithful and just to cleanse us from our sins. And what? And cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So I don't see any reason the Lord would bring those up on a video screen at the judgment seat of Christ, right? Somebody say, praise the Lord. Some things I don't want you to know. And it's probably vice versa. But you know what? If we haven't done anything for the Lord, the Scripture does very well say we will suffer loss, maybe no rewards, but we'll be saved so as by fire. You're in. And that's okay with me. But you know what? Everything that we do for the Lord today is just laying up rewards in heaven. And one day, oh boy, one day we get to take our rewards and we come up to the feet of Jesus and bow down and say, it's because of you. I want to do that. How about you? That's what we get to do. We go through the judgment seat of Christ and through the marriage supper of the Lamb, where we get to celebrate the greatest wedding feast of the ages, where the church, the bride of Christ, enjoys the best that God has to offer. Sally did communion this morning. You remember something Jesus said at communion? He passed around the cup and He said, I will not partake of this cup again until I do it with you in the kingdom. Here's Tony's opinion. And that will happen at the marriage supper. And He'll be leading the communion. Somebody say hallelujah. This is good, isn't it? We can have fun thinking about what Jesus did for us. Marriage supper of the Lamb, and then right into the 1,000-year reign with Jesus, where the lion lays down with the lamb, the child can play with the snake and no problems. There is no animosity, and the devil himself is bound by Jesus and thrown, and he is bound for 1,000 years. Good stuff. Good stuff. Does the devil give anybody a hard time? Yeah. And then the end comes. Satan's loose for a little while, and he was able to go out and gather the armies that have not accepted Jesus Christ, and they come together and there is a battle take place. And I think that's the battle of Armageddon, where the blood runs so deep that it comes up to the bridle of the horse. But you know what? We don't raise a finger, because Jesus, our Lord, takes care of it all. And then something amazing happens. The Bible clearly teaches that there'll be a time where every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. And one day, Satan himself, Lucifer, the liar, the angel of light, the whatever naming, he's brought before Jesus, and Jesus standing there as King Jesus, and the devil himself must bow the knee and proclaim Jesus as Lord. I want to see that. Then the Bible says that Satan, the false prophet, and all that have not believed the gospel of Jesus Christ will be cast into the lake of fire forever. So what do you want? The rapture or the wrath of God? It's up for us to choose. No one can make that decision for you. It's up to you. Well, how do you do that? I want to go to the most memorized verse of Scripture in the Bible. You don't even have to look it up. You can quote it with me. Jesus himself says this, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." The step from wrath is belief in Jesus. Have you done that? I don't care if you've been sitting on a church pew for 30 years. If you haven't made that decision, you need to make it. You need to be certain. The Apostle Paul says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, what does he say? You'll be saved. So it's a belief with the heart. Have you done that? Have you done that? At the end of the John chapter 3, John gives us some very sobering words in John chapter 3 and verse number 36. He says, "He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. And he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." And it's up to you. You see, God's that way. Even in the nation of Israel, he told them, he said, "I place before you life and death on this day." And then he says, "Choose life." And today, this very day, he has placed before us rapture or wrath. And he says, "You choose." What have you chosen? What have you chosen? I'm going to ask Russell to come to the guitar again. He's going to begin playing "How Deep the Father's Love for Us," and we're going to sing through that. But I want to have a word of prayer. Matter of fact, I'd like to invite, if anybody wants to talk to somebody after this service, please, no one moving around, no one leaving, out of respect for God might be dealing in somebody's heart. As we sing through this song, now or even when we get finished, if you want to talk to somebody, how can I know for sure that I'm going to heaven? There's a few people you can talk to. You can talk to Mal, Shirley, you can talk to Peter, you can talk to me, Jim, our leadership team, any of those people. And they can show you how you can know for sure. But you must choose. Rapture? Oh, yes. Or the wrath of God. Let's sing this song.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son, to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing love. The Father turns his face away, and wounds which mother chosen was bring many sons to glory.
Before we sing this next verse, I'm just going to encourage you. Everybody, just be praying, okay? Perhaps there's some people here who want to make a decision for whatever reason they haven't. Pray that God will, the Holy Spirit will draw them. And even if you just where you're sitting, Jesus was clear. He said, if you'll trust me, you'll believe in me, let me be your Lord and your Savior, but you have to invite me to be that. And if you do, they'll have a party in heaven. And then the rapture will be your future rather than the wrath of God. Please make that decision, even if you're by yourself, as we sing the next verse.
Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there, until it was accomplished. His dying breath has taught me life. I know that it is finished.
Everyone, please stand and we'll sing this last verse, and please, please, please keep praying. Anybody needs to talk to somebody? I think I'm going to invite our leadership team to come up here. Find somebody that will pray with you. Just stand up here, and if somebody wants to talk, come on, leadership team. If you have need somebody to pray with you, just let them know. They'll pray. Peter, please come up and join with us as well. All right, let's sing that last verse.
I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom.
If you still need to talk to somebody, please do so. If you've made a decision for Christ where you're sitting, let us know so we can rejoice with you. But most of all, make that decision. Wrath or rapture? I choose rapture. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the conference you've allowed us to have, for Pastor Keith coming, for Ken preaching. Thank you for your scriptures that we can put our confidence, the confidence for our eternity in your word alone. Thank you for what Jesus did for us. He paid for our sin on the cross, and our faith punches our ticket for the rapture. Thank you for what you've provided for us. Now I pray that everybody under the sound of my voice will make that choice. To let's go together. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you.